All right, we're going to read a little story here in 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 1. We'll read the first 7 verses. It's just a story about this widow. Chapter 4. All right, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." And then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." All right, it's a simple little story that's got some real good lessons in it for us and some encouragement. And I'll not be able to do as good as that black preacher did that I heard preach on this one time. But hopefully we can learn a few things here. This woman had lost her husband. He was a preacher. She didn't have anything. She had 2 sons and a debt, I suppose, more than she could pay. So they were in a bad spot. Hard times, Esther. Esther's talking about all the problems they've got just all of a sudden here. Problems come in bunches. They do. They really, really do. And seem like when you get in one of those places, sometimes you get to thinking the Lord has forsaken you, but He never forsakes us. Bad times come to all of us in this journey of life. You're just going to find that out. It's just not all profit and gravy and easy going. There's hard times. In a lot of different ways. We praying for people tonight here sick, got bad problems with their health. Well, now that's bad. If you're sick, then it's bad. You realize how bad it is if it's you that is sick. If it's somebody else, you think, well, Lord help them. You pray for them and all that, but you don't feel the burden that they do. Same way if you don't have enough money. That seems to be everybody's problem. Don't have enough money to pay for what needs to be paid. Well, I think that's been common to man forever. Yeah. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We talked about that here a while back, you know. The spirit of poor people is generally better than that of rich people.
That's true.
I know we all don't want to be poor, but we don't want to be rich. We just want to have enough. Ain't that what we say? But when do we ever have enough? Well, there was this family of one of the sons of the prophets. And they weren't wicked and they weren't an ungodly family. She said, "Thou knowest that my husband feared the Lord." He was a good man. He feared the Lord. This was a family that already had major problems and losses. These boys had lost their father, and now they were in danger of being taken from their mother and sold as slaves, because that's the way they did it back then. If you owed a debt and couldn't pay it, they'd just take your kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of how it worked back then. So that's kind of a bad deal. Her husband, the breadwinner, he was a preacher. I mean, their source of income, what fed them, he's gone. Did you ever think about that? You know, have you ever thought about it in your own situation, you know? I mean, just like Seth here, what if something happened to you? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
What if something happened to Coda or Gary? Yeah. or Mike, you know, all of us here. What in the world? Well, it'd be hard on her trying to take care of all the bills and make a living for the family. How's that going to go? It's going to be hard for her. Bad situation. They got a bad problem here. And then on top of that, no mercy. I mean, for money, he'll take whatever what she has left. Her two sons are going to take it away from her. This woman had lost her husband, was about to be deprived of her sons as well. And that would leave her completely desolate. Think about that. A woman alone, widowed, and then have her sons taken away from her. Nothing left. Nothing left. She was in debt. We don't know why they were in debt. Why are you in debt? You know? I know the Bible teaches against it. The borrower is servant to the lender, and we all know that. But we find the ways to justify it and go ahead and do it anyway. Now, we don't know why she was in debt, but it you know, it's not always. It could have been something unavoidable.
Right.
You can stay debt-free all your life and then get sick and end up in the hospital or something. You can end up way in debt.
Yeah.
That wasn't just your careless spending and unbridled lust, you know. It's possible to end up in debt in other ways than careless spending and mismanaging of money. So we can't blame her for that. It's just a fact. You shouldn't blame somebody else either. It's what I've preached to you for a long time. You ought to have mercy on other people, no matter what, how they got in the trouble they're in. You know, what if God had treated you that way? What if God would have said, "What's on your own foolish fault for being foolish and mean and careless and ignorant? Suffer a while." You know, that we shouldn't have that attitude toward anybody. It don't matter how they got it that way. Maybe they did make some foolish decisions. Maybe they did do some things that were wrong and it got them in a mess. Well, the important thing is to help them get out of the mess.
Right.
That's right. So she's in debt. And as the children of God, none of us have the assurance that our circumstances are always going to be wonderful and never be as bad as those of this woman and her sons. You may say, "Well, I'll never get in that kind of state." A lot of people have that attitude. You know, "I'm going to be wise and I'm going to take care of things and I'm going to avoid all this trouble." Well, it'll come at you from another angle.
Yes,
I found this out. You know, people raise their kids and they're like, "I'm going to do it right and I ain't going to mess up like my mom and dad did." Well, they'll mess up some other way.
Yes.
That's what happens every time.
Sure.
We're all not wise enough to take care of ourselves. We need God to help us and
right.
to guide us and to deliver us when we do get in trouble. There's some real valuable lessons here to be learned from this situation. Now, if you were in a situation like this, what would you do first? Would you get on Google and try to find some way to help, you know? Well, that's what most people do. If they get sick, they run to the doctor first. They don't cry out to God and say, "Lord, help me." They don't seek wisdom for whatever their malady is in the Word of God. They go to the world. Well, this woman didn't. She called the man of God first. She didn't go to the world seeking help. I mean, there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, and she cried. There cried a certain woman. That's how the thing started here. First thing you hear about this whole deal is she is crying to the prophet, the man of God, about what to do. She didn't go to the world. She didn't go out and get a job and try to come up with some scheme of her own to pay off the debt. She didn't start a pyramid scheme. She didn't raffle anything. She didn't have anything to raffle. She didn't come up, didn't put her mind to that kind of a thought.
Yeah.
Her mind went to God.
Yes.
Well, that tells me something good about her husband, probably. And their home and the attitude of their home, that couple, he must have been a man that trusted God because his wife did when he's gone. She simply sought out the man of God and told him what was happening to her and her sons. Now, she didn't even ask him for anything, not according to the scripture here. She didn't say, "Help me." She cried out to him what to do. Take that lesson. You can get a lot of help from the people of God just in advice. reaping from their experience, where they've been in the same place as you're in now, they can help you.
Yeah.
Maybe they fumbled around and did all kinds of things, tried to get out of it themselves and learn some real valuable lessons they could impart to you without you having to suffer them. If you'd be wise, you can learn from other people's mistakes.
Yes.
Instead of making them all your own.
Yeah.
You ain't got time for that.
Right.
So, Elisha, it was him who said, "What shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee? What do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you?" You think Elisha had the money to bail her out and pay the debt?
No.
You think she thought he might and that's why she called on him? No. I don't think so at all. He wanted to help her, but he didn't pay her debt for her. Now that's where most people look for miracles and help. They look for it from the hand of others. I think that's... I just don't think you ought to do that. Where should you look first? You ought to look to God.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to go to Him and tell Him your troubles. I mean, He already knows.
Sure.
Do you think He knows what to do? Do you think He knows the way out? He most certainly does. You ought to go to Him first. And it shouldn't be something you have to struggle to do. It ought to be your default action when you're in trouble. Go to God.
Right.
Cry out to God. So, most people look for miracles from other people. You know, I've told you before, you know, we're on the mission field, and we did deputation and stuff different times. And I had preachers tell me, you have to tell people what you need or they don't know what you need.
Yeah.
And I said, that don't sound right to me. It seems to me like we ought to tell God what we need, which He already knows.
Yes.
And then ask God to lay on people's hearts, and then we know it came from God.
Right.
If I tell somebody I'm seeking pity and compassion from them, well, you can, man, that's what all of these TV preachers and everybody, that's the way they get rich and own two jets and fly all over the country and have mansions everywhere. That's how they do it. They ask for it, and people will give it. They're making merchandise of the people of God.
Yes,
they're fleecing the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a totally different thing from getting something from God.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, how many of you know who Hudson Taylor was? Well, most of you do, some of you do. He was a missionary in China back in the 1800s. And he decided that God wanted him to go to China when he was just a teenager. And he prepared for years and years to try to learn some of the language and learn all he could about the place and the people before he went. But one of his major goals in his own self-training was... He was determined to prove that he could pray to God without telling anybody, mm-hmm. and that God would provide for his needs, answer his prayers without him influencing people to do it. He had to know that God heard his prayer and God worked in people's hearts. Because he's going halfway around the world. No cell phones, no telephones. Mail took 6 months for a letter to go one way, 6 months to go back. So if you mailed a letter, it's at least a year before you got an answer.
Right.
Well, he had all kinds of experiences while he was young and working and preparing to go over there that proved that. And I won't go into all that. But he went to China. As he got off of the boat, he saw people getting their heads cut off. I mean, they were in a big rebellion and fight. And then as he got in there and got settled, he found out that the mission society that had helped him come were borrowing money to support him. And he wrote a letter and said, "Don't send me another dime. I won't have borrowed money to keep me here." Cut off his own support. So, because he'd already proved to himself that God was faithful and God would hear his prayer and God would move on other people's heart and provide his needs. And so there was another man over in England named George, help me.
Mueller.
George Mueller. And running an orphanage. He'd always wanted to go to China, but the Lord never would let him go to China. He had 2,000 children he was feeding every day. And he was given to missions. And God spoke to his heart to help Hudson Taylor. And without him contacting, without anything. Anyway, he made it. God took care of his needs. Because he trusted God and didn't try to manipulate men. He didn't start a GoFundMe. He didn't send out cards and letters and commercials everywhere begging for help from people.
Right.
Don't you believe? Do you believe that it would really work that way? I mean, do you believe that if you cry out to God, that he'll see your need and he will help you? Know what to do? Because that's where we're at a lot of times. We don't know what to do. Just like this woman right here. So she simply sought out the man of God and told him what was happening. And he said, "What do you want? What shall I do for thee?" And so Elisha truly helped this woman by steering her away from such thinking about going to other people. He said to her, he said, "What hast thou in the house?" Well, that's what he asked the woman. That was the first step in solving her problem. Are y'all listening? It's what you have already. You already have what you need to solve this problem. What hast thou in the house? The first place to look when you're in a strait like this is to look at what you have at hand. You do what you can with what you have where you are. That's just a motto of life that you ought to keep right out in front of your mind all the time. Don't be dissatisfied with what you have or where you're at or what you can do or what you think you can do. Don't be dissatisfied with that. Paul said, "I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in." I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Be content with such things as you have. Don't be dissatisfied with what you are, what you can do, and where you're at. Do what you can, where you are, with what you have. Now, nobody is shorted. You may think you have no talent. You may think you have no money. You don't have anything. But it doesn't take money, and it doesn't take talent, and it doesn't take anything like that to do what God wants you to do. A lot of people think that. They think they're no good. I mean, I can't sing, and I can't preach, and I can't teach, and I can't hardly read, and I don't have any money, and I don't have anything, so I'm not worth much. No, that's just exactly the kind that God's looking for. Not many wise, not many mighty are chosen. God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God always does that. It's a common thread throughout the Bible. He goes to the low places. That's where he gets the people who do the great things. They don't come out of these, out of men's schools and men's factories where they produce all these great men. That's not where they come from. He found Gideon thrashing wheat, hiding, doing it. A little nobody. He said, "My family is of the tribe of Benjamin, the least of all of Israel." My family's the least of the tribe of Benjamin. He's least, and I'm the least. Yeah. Ain't nobody. Can't do nothing. Don't have anything. "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." That's what the angel said to him. And you reckon he looked around behind him and said, "Who are you talking to?" What hast thou in the house? You may think you don't have anything. Well, she just had a pot of oil. That's it. That's what she said. This is a principle that's revealed in the Bible a lot of times. Joseph became the king of Egypt when he was nothing but a slave and a prisoner. Didn't have anything. You ever think about what Joseph had? I mean, possessions, money, friends. He didn't have anything. And look where he ended up. Time and time again, the children of Israel in the wilderness. God gave them water out of a rock. What do you got? There's a rock. Well, that's good enough. They're hungry. Where'd it come from? Out of heaven. The manna came right out of heaven. God can do anything. He can bring something out of nothing, because that's where all this came from. He didn't make all this universe out of stuff that was already there, the Bible says. He made it out of nothing. So you think that you got to be able to see something? No, he can bring something out of nothing. There's another verse that says he brings to naught, things that are through the things, and I can't quote the verse, can't get it in my mind, but it's things that are not even there. He can defeat enemies with things that are not even there. Remember the Midianites? They just heard a big noise and they ran. No. Just boo, and they ran away. Defeated. So, never be discouraged by how little you seem to have. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Poor in money, poor in possessions, poor in everything. Talent, abilities. Those are the ones God chooses. So that God gets the glory, you see. And they don't. Somebody that can really sing beautiful, it's hard for them to really sing for God and God be glorified without them getting some of the glory out of it. You was talking about Brother Earl the other day. Somebody was. He couldn't sing very well at all. But that's not the point. You know, Jason Pell's grandma, he plugged that tape in his car and she said, "What in the world is that?" She was kind of a, she was kind of a well-to-do woman. She's a nice lady and all, but she heard Brother Earl caterwauling and she didn't know what to think about that. But he was a blessing. What if Brother Earl never sang? We wouldn't remember him near as well, would we?
Nope.
And who was it was telling me? Said you can search for that song and he's the first one that comes up on Google. Yeah. Earl Hughes. Don't be discouraged by how little you have. Little is much when God is in it, and God generally won't be in it unless it's very, very little.
That's right. Yes.
He didn't kill Goliath with another giant. God didn't produce a giant to kill a giant. He took a young boy to kill a giant. That's the way it works with God. So that's the way to work with you with God. When you have problems in your life, you need to go to God. And you need to trust that God will take care of you and that He'll show you the way. That's what He did with this woman. He showed her the way. So in order to see the miracles of God, we usually first have to be brought down very low. You just got to get that also. The way up with God is down. If you're going to be exalted, you must be humbled first. That's just the way it works. It's backwards to the way men think and everything, but for God to be glorified, He has to use very little. Got to feed all this multitude, 5,000 men, besides women and children. Well, if you're real conservative in the way you figure that, you're talking 15 to 20,000 people. Said, what we got? Well, we got to have 2 fishes, 5 loaves. Now, what are we going to do? Jesus just blessed the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves and break. And they fed all them people. And had 12 baskets left over.
Yep.
They had more when it was over than they did when it was when they started.
Yes.
So did this woman.
Yes.
So little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
And in order to see the miracles of God, we usually have to get brought down low.
Yeah.
Never be discouraged by how irrelevant what you have is to the problem you're facing. She owes a debt, and they're going to take her boys. And what's she got? A pot of oil. What he said, what hast thou in the house? What if she'd have said, well, I don't have nothing that'll help this situation. I don't have any jewelry. I don't have any gold. I don't have anything. Well, she had a pot of oil. She remembered that. Because that's all she had. A little pot of oil. But how's that going to, you know, and I'm thinking in her mind, she probably thought, well, I'll tell him, but what good's this going to do? A pot of oil, ain't that? Don't that sound silly? We're talking about this debt problem, and they're about to lose her sons, and they're going to take her sons away from her, and she's lost her husband, and what do you have that we can use to deal with this problem? Pot of oil. I mean, you know, you just think, she'd be ashamed to say so. Don't be ashamed of what you have.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. No matter how little it is, no matter how irrelevant it is to the whatever the problem is. Because you don't know.
That's right.
You just don't know. What did a pot of oil have to do with the debt that was threatening to ruin her life completely? She would have never looked at that oil as the means of her deliverance without the wisdom of God. She cried to the man of God. The man of God came, said, what do you have in the house? She'd have never thought about, without him telling her, she'd have never thought about, now what can I do with this oil to solve this problem? Would she?
No.
We wouldn't either. We'd look at what we got and say, it's just a bunch of junk. We don't have nothing. I don't have nothing. I have no way. It's hopeless. It's a good thing she called the man of God.
Yes,
because we need to do that. We need to seek the counsel of other godly people because they can see a little more clearly than we can in our trouble.
Yes.
When we have troubles clouding us over, we just don't see real good.
Right.
We don't think real good either. We're too concerned and too fretted about it. We can't use what we don't have. And therefore, those things are useless when we're in dire straits. You know, don't think about what you don't have. Think about what you do have. Is that making any sense to you?
Yes.
Because people, when they get in trouble, they think, boy, if I just had this, if I just had a little more money, I could do this. And if I had this, then I could solve this problem. If I had this, well, you don't have it.
Right.
That's futile to sit around saying, well, if I had this, and I wish, if. There's no ifs in the man of God's statements or commands or directions here, instructions.
Right.
No ifs. You notice that?
Yeah.
What you got in the house? Pot of oil. Well, that's enough. We can fix this problem. And it was a thing that she would have never thought of without his instruction in it. Has anybody ever helped you by telling you something that you never thought of? Even when it was right before your eyes, you could have seen it, but you just didn't. And then somebody else says, hey, what about this? And you think, bing. Yeah. So when you do have troubles, don't just hold up to yourself. Wallow in your worry. I think I've told this about every one of you, but, you know, Brother Pete said that little missionary kid came up to him and said, you know what worry is, Brother Pete? And he said, well, tell me. And he said, it's a mild case of atheism. Worrying. Yeah. Now there's you some wisdom out of a child. Don't just sit around worrying and fretting about your problem. Well, we can't. To focus on obtaining more things to help us get out of the trouble is just to heap to ourselves more trouble.
Yeah.
You can't borrow your way out of debt.
No.
No. How many of you found that out by experience? Can't borrow your way out of debt. She had to act in faith. I mean, we don't need to get more things. We're just going to add more problems to our portfolio of problems that we already have. She had to act in faith. Elisha told her to go to her neighbors and ask for empty vessels. She wasn't to ask for help or for anything but empty vessels. You know, God will help you out of trouble if you'll just humble yourself and get off of your high horse. You know. I mean, think about this. Going to her neighbors. Could you loan me some empty pots? They know. Her husband's dead. She don't have anything. They're fixing to take her sons. The neighbors know this stuff. And she's going around the neighbors. So, can I borrow your empty pots? Empty pots? Got any empty pots I can borrow? He said, don't borrow just a few. Borrow a lot of them. He said to ask for not a few. In other words, she's to get as many as she can. So according to her faith is how she was to be given. Open thy mouth wide that I may fill it. You have not because you ask not. According to your faith, be it so, you know, be given unto you. According to your faith.
Right.
Well, it says here that, you know, this had to arouse curiosity among the neighbors as to what she was up to. They had to know that she was broke and in trouble and had nothing. What was she going to do with all these pots? But that's why he told her to take her sons in the house and shut the door. She had to disregard the skepticism of others, and so will you. Who would surely make fun of her for her foolishness. She had to disregard the counsel and so-called wisdom of others who would give her their plans and suggestions for solving her problem. I mean, you can have problems and then you can have real problems, you know. I mean, the septic tank being messed up, that's a problem. But man, there's a lot worse problems. Do you ever think about how much worse of a problem?
Yeah,
wrecking your car. That's a problem, but it's just a car. Problems can become very heavy. I mean, we're looking at this here, and this woman's really got a problem here.
Yeah.
Her life is on the line. So it's important. And this may seem to her neighbors to just be foolishness. It may seem to her that way somewhat too. But your faith is what overcomes that, see?
Amen.
It's kind of like what we was talking about this morning. You know, you give God everything and you trust Him for everything all the time in every situation. That's faith. God will take care of me. I've lived long enough this way to be able to tell you right now that God does take care of you.
Yes.
He's always took care of me. There's been times I've had abundance, but most of the time it's not abundance, believe me. Been terrible situations, looked impossible. Always, somehow, always.
Amen, that's right.
A way just opened up. I'm telling you, that's fact.
Yes, sir.
I ain't telling you something I'm reading of somebody else's life and stories. I'm just telling you, God is faithful. If you'll trust Him, He will make a way. For you. Always. He'll never hang you out to dry. If you trust Him. So he told her to take her sons in the house. Shut the door. She had to disregard all of what everybody else was thinking. She had to disregard any advice that anybody else gave her. Because don't think that the man of God was the only one that gave her advice. If you've got troubles in your life, there's all kinds of people that's there to tell you what to do. Well, their idea of what to do. And very few of them tell you to trust God with it. So what she had to do to get deliverance from God was to believe God and trust Him and act upon what He said. And most people don't believe that's the way to deal with real earthly problems like this. You just handle them yourself. Don't bother God with them. Well, I ask God to help me if I lose my pocket knife. And He helps me find it. He always has. I've never lost a pocket knife that stayed lost. Yet. I've lost them for 2 years at a time and didn't find it. And I always say, thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
For the help. So, when all the pots were full, the oil stayed, the Bible says here. So there was just enough to fill all the pots she had borrowed, not lacking and not more. How many times has that happened to you? I know it's happened to me a lot. It happens to me all the time. There's just enough. Just enough. Nothing over and nothing shy. Just enough. When you're self-employed, I mean, you really learn this stuff.
Yes.
I don't have a check that comes every week, you know.
No.
I don't have a salary. Gary, you got a salary. Man, you... Yeah. I never know if I'm going to make a dollar or $1,000. I don't know. More like a dollar. Much more often.
Yes.
But it don't matter what I make, how much I work. It don't matter how hard I try. There's always just enough.
Yes, that's right.
If I'm sick, if I can't work, if there's no work, if it's just, there's enough.
Yeah.
And so I have learned to just not fret about it. I just don't worry about it.
Yep.
Can you believe that?
So
there was just enough to fill all the pots. She went back to the man of God for further instructions. All the pots are full now. Everything's full. She didn't take it from there herself. Y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
She didn't say, oh, wow. And then just take it to herself and finish the job here.
Right.
She went back to him and said, no, what did I do? They're all full. She didn't say, oh, I know what he'll tell me now. She went and asked first. You see, that's where a lot of us mess up a lot of times. We'll go so far with God, and then we'll just grab it and take a hold of the reins ourselves. That's what we do. So I can take it from here. Thank you, Lord. Like the guy that fell off the cliff, you know, and said, Lord, help me. And his britches caught on the limb that was sticking out. And he said, never mind, Lord, I got this. No, Jacob, that's right. No, sir, that's wrong. But that's how a lot of people do. And we do it if we're not very careful. She didn't see this miracle and then say, thank you, Lord, you answered my prayers. She went back to see, what do I do now? She knew that she had to realize that she had a lot of money sitting there in those pots. I don't know what kind of oil it was. I would suppose it was the oil you cook with. It must have been pretty valuable. I mean, a debt that they were going to take her sons for. We underestimate things a lot that we read in the Bible. Must have been a lot of oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was enough to pay the debt and live on. After that, she didn't claim it as hers automatically, but went and told the man of God what they'd done. He said, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live, thou and thy sons of the rest. So it didn't come out of nowhere, but it did come from the little she already had. The little she had was not cast to the wind, but was multiplied into a blessing for many others. There's another story similar to this, and it's Elijah, and he went to the widow, and it was the famine in the land. Remember when he prayed, and the rain stopped for 3.5 years, and everything dried up, and everything went to die, and there wasn't no water, no food, nothing anywhere. And he went to that widow's house, and he asked her what she had, and she said she had just a little bit of meal and a cruse of oil, and she's going to make 2 little cakes for her and her son, and then eat them and die. He said, well, make me one first. Take your little bit of meal and your oil. Make me a cake first. She did. And you know how that was.
Yeah.
The cruse of oil didn't fail. And the meal, the barrel of meal did not fail. All the rest of the time of the famine.
Yeah.
She had to give what she had.
Yep.
To get what she needed.
Yep.
But it wasn't thrown to the wind. Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Yes.
Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. There's this principle about sowing and reaping. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow abundantly, you're going to reap abundantly. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You better not cling to what you have, or you'll lose what you have. You know, the way out of trouble when you're in want is to give away what you got. Be willing to. That was the deal. Take that oil and pour it into these other pots. Take that meal and your little bit of oil and make me a cake first. Give it to God first and then see what God does for you. Those who bought the oil were glad to get it. And so it turned into a blessing for everyone. It must have been a pretty hot item. Oil. She had a little bit of oil. It must have been pretty valuable. The woman broke the alabaster box of ointment, oil, poured it on Jesus. They fussed about it, you know, that why this great waste? We could have sold that for so much and give it to the poor. That was Judas talking. He was a thief. The Bible says he didn't say that because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag. The Bible tells us that plainly, but it was very valuable. The creditor got paid. So he was blessed from that too. This story has a real good ending. The creditor got paid. Lots of other people got oil that didn't have it. The woman's debt was cleared. She kept her sons, had money to live on. Because she took the right route in solving her problems and dealing with the problem that she had. Her sons, this is important too. Her sons saw that God was real and that He was faithful to provide for His children. See, that lady there, I mean, she did a real important thing. Probably that's the most important thing of this whole thing, is that her children saw her faith in God and that God was real and faithful. It's a lesson you don't forget.
That's right.
No, that's right.
And I'm sure it made a big difference in their lives. It's a very important thing considering what those boys had been through in losing their father, then almost being sold as slaves. There was more than enough to take care of the debt. There was enough left over for them all to live on also. So, real quick here, when we're considering our dire circumstances, we ought to keep these things in mind. Look to God for wisdom first. And it don't hurt you a bit to have other people help you look to God. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. We're instructed in the Bible lots of times to go to the elders and go to the people that are older than us for wisdom and help and answers and advice and counsel. Because life's full of problems and hard places. And they done been there and they can tell you about it and help you get through it a lot easier. So look to God first. Seek counsel and advice from godly people who really walk with God. Don't look to others for help, but look to God first. Don't focus on what you don't have, but on what you do have. And don't think about running away or coming up with a scheme of your own. Use what you have to do what you can where you are. This is good for our individual life, our family, and for our church. We do what we can with what we have where we are. Not always dreaming about some better situation, some better equipment, better facility, better crowd, you know. Never do anything that way. You do what you can, where you're at, with what you have. This is me. That's all I am. That's all there is to me. There's you. That's all there is to you. Whatever you have, that's it. Use it for God. Amen. Surrender it to God. Yes. What do you have in your house? It's amazing what God can do with just a vessel that's yielded to Him. Oh, this woman here. What a story. What do you have? Take it and give it to God. That little boy gave his lunch that day. You ever thought about that? 5,000 men out there, none of them brought a lunch except that little boy. You ever been on a job like that? Yeah, I have too. I remember the boss eating some of the guys' lunch. They brought lunch and he ate it while they was working. My goodness. You know, people can have a bad attitude and say, well, y'all come out here and didn't bring nothing. It's your own tough luck for being stupid like that. You know, y'all have brought something. No. The disciples said, let's just send them away so they can go buy victuals in the village over there. They're hungry. Jesus said, we can't send them away hungry. Not going to do that. We're going to feed them. With what? Why, if we went to town and bought like 200 pennies worth of bread, we'd have to get to feed this bunch. And what did Jesus say? What do you have? What do we have here? We'll just use what we have. The Lord will take care of it too.
He does. Yes.
You just do what you can. You get in some hard predicaments. You think you're going to have to pull some superhuman feat off to get out of this. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. You just got to just do what you can. Just keep doing what you can.
That's right.
Just keep on. Just keep plugging on. Pressing on with what you have. Doing what you can. Don't think, well, I got to go up North Dakota and get me a job so I can make a bunch of money fast. Don't go up there. They didn't shut all that down. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the way the world is. You're much better just trusting God where you are. Be satisfied where you are. Do what you can where you are with what you have. Remember that. Lord, help us. I pray that you help us remember these things. A few little simple lessons from this story that happened a long time ago. These principles, these truths that are in the Word of God so many times over and over. Lord, help us to not be looking for something profound and deep and miss the simple, easy things to be understood as these are. We all have troubles in our lives, have difficulties and problems, and Lord, lots of times we just don't know what to do. I pray this would be a help to us. I pray you'd help me to remember these things also in the days ahead. Go with us now, Lord, and I pray you get us home safely tonight. Bless each one through the week. I pray we'd be a blessing to somebody. I pray you'd give us an opportunity to speak up for you somewhere. I pray, Lord, that you'd watch over us all on the highways, in our homes. And Lord, that you'd preserve our lives and watch over all these little children. And Lord, bring us again safely to the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.